We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. And I'm excited first to welcome to the show Caregiver Dave. Dave, I always enjoy this. We're getting used to this whole co-hosting back and forth thing. And we've had some interesting stories.
We're on each other's toes.
Exactly. I like that. We're developing that kind of back and forth fun thing. And I like some of the banter we're having back and forth. But you got to say, each guest, and this is what's amazing about both of us having talk shows, you learn something new from each guest, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you and I are just playing ping pong. We're getting good. We ought to try playing real ping pong. See what happens. Well, let me tell you about our guest, Miles Tagmeyer, an actor, producer, known for Broken, 2018, and the Disney Descendants School of Secrets, 2015, and Candle in the Curse, 2018, and nominated, some said one Primetime Emmy, but I heard he was nominated for two Primetime Emmys. Is that right, Miles?
You know, I was actually nominated for one individual Primetime Emmy, but then the show received a second Primetime Emmy nomination for Lee Garlington. She also received a nomination
small
for her.
Print.
Yes. But the show itself...
Well, it's great having you on. I'm new to the show. How did you get involved in the entertainment industry? Let's start with that.
You know, it started a long time ago, not as far back as 1918, but all the way back in about 2000. and I was 8 years old, and I just came home one day, and I said to my parents that I want to be an actor. And they were confused because no one in my family is artistically inclined. No one has pursued that field before, but they just said, okay. And then I enrolled in a summer camp for theater. And then the drama teacher there said, your child has it. He has it, which again confused my parents. Then after that, I apparently had it at a young age. And in Minnesota, I started doing theater all throughout middle school, elementary school, high school. And then I also started to do short films, industrial films, commercials, radio, voiceover, anything that I could do. And I loved it.
And you sound so young. How old are you?
26. Okay. I'm 26
years
old.
Wow, that is so unusual for someone that young to get a big break the way you did. Awesome, Bill.
Absolutely. So let's Miles, talk about when you started that process. So you said you went ahead and started. What made you gotten and want to go further into this field? You know, did you think it's just something that you really enjoyed? Is it something that makes you passionate, acting and producing and all that?
Absolutely. Yes. And I don't see myself doing anything other than acting. I did go to college unrelated to acting. I graduated with a communication studies major and economics minor, but I don't remember anything from college because I was pursuing acting on the side and I was constantly working. And I it's always nice to have that quote unquote backup plan, which I don't like people saying, but I don't want to use my degree and I haven't had to yet, which is great. Although it has informed my acting career, I don't have to necessarily use it. But as far as Broken, this has been about a year and a half, just over about a year in the making from conception to where we are now. And it's one of those things where I've been in LA for 8 years and people have said like, oh, you don't have a lot of professional recognizable credits yet you're nominated for an Emmy. Like, how did that happen? Yeah. They think I just appeared out of nowhere, which is not true. I mean, I've been here for 8 years grinding and working and doing everything possible, doing short films, doing student films, doing everything. And then Broken was self-produced, self-financed, and we just created our own content because the opportunities were not there for us at the time and we wanted to tell this story. And so my friends and I got together and we just did it.
Wow. You know, everyone thinks an overnight success just happens overnight, but no, it rarely does, you know. Hey, I've been busy doing this. Just, you know, I'm the best kept secret in town.
Right. And even now that I have this calling card of being a Primetime Emmy nominated actor, which can never be taken away from me, which is amazing. And it's exciting. It's still surreal. It gets people to look at you in a different light. Yet I feel nothing has changed. I'm still the same person. I'm still Miles. Nothing has changed about me and my friends and the way I act and live. But people just assume like, oh, wow, you're this prestigious, famous actor now. And I'm like, Nope, yeah, not yet.
but even more amazing, someone your age being an actor is what you should really be proud about. You're a producer. You came up with a show. Tell us about Broken. How did you get this idea?
Yeah, so this was actually my first time being on the other side of the camera in a producerial role. So I was the executive producer on this project, and I'd done PA work before, and I was a second AC, but I didn't know what that was at the time. I just called, I work on the clacker. I would like say something and then clack it, and they'd start the scene. I had no idea what I was doing. but in order to create your own content, you really have to be 100% invested and 100% passionate about it, because if you're not 100% invested and passionate about what you're working on, it will show, and people aren't going to buy whatever you're essentially selling them.
Absolutely.
And this schizophrenia is what Broken deals with, and it deals more so with the stigma surrounding mental illness. And I will admit, I wasn't fully aware of mental illness in general. Yeah. A lot of people use the term mental health. Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. So people use the terms mental health and mental illness interchangeably when they're not. So everyone has mental health. That's just something that you can't change. Mental illness is specific to people. It affects the way people think, feel, behave, or interact with others. And so it's a disorder that is unique to that individual. And I admit, I didn't know the distinction between the two. And we wanted to shed light on this topic.
But yeah, a lot of us are getting educated. Did you have to get involved in the funding, raising money, or did others?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No, I think that's why
you must be good at that, too.
Well, when you've been in L.A. for 8 years, you kind of build up a network of people. And so I called upon every single favor that I could think of.
They probably saw that passion and said, I got to invest in this guy.
You know, they did, but they also, there were some people that said no because they didn't understand what we were doing. And some people still don't understand what we were doing, even now that we have two primetime Emmy nominations, which is the ultimate form of marketing. When we had found out about...
Don't take it personal.
No, not at all. But now that we have the two primetime Emmy nominations, a lot of people are coming back saying, oh, so you guys are in season two? What's going on with that? But we didn't really invest a lot in marketing because when we found out about the short form category within the Emmys, we knew that would be the ultimate form of marketing.
That's
really
wow, wow.
Just having that calling card again. Uh-huh.
So the process of going out,
this wave.
Trying the process of going out and coming up with this idea, great idea, and then going out raising money, then making sure it goes to a specific place. Did you think it would get to this point where you're getting this Emmy nomination? This probably never came to your mind, right?
You know, it's always in the back of an actor's head that, like, I mean, actors are generally selfish in the sense that they like to hear positive things about themselves. So, of course, I mean, it's always great to be recognized by your peers and your friends and people you respect and your colleagues. But, no, it wasn't created for the sake of achieving this goal. This was found out during the process. And then once we found out that this was an opportunity, then we took it and we focused a lot of our attention and work on it. Because I said, just having that calling card of being a two-time primetime Emmy-nominated show makes people look at you in a different light. The show is exactly the same as it was when we shot it in January of this year, but back then it wasn't nominated for two primetime Emmys, whereas now it is. So it's just about perception, and people are more willing to look at it, and which is what we wanted. So it didn't come out of a selfish place. It came out of, let's get the word out.
So are you preparing your acceptance speech? you must be.
I haven't. No, I said...
You better hurry up.
Well, people have joked with me about that. And I said, oh, no, I don't need to do that. Like, if it happens, I'll just wing it. I've already won in my book. Just getting the nomination, I've won. Of course, it'd be amazing to actually win. But who knows, maybe I'll write something down because I think I would be overcome with lots of emotion. I probably would forget anything that I wanted to say. So But then it's the other thing too. I don't want to get in my head about it. I don't want to just assume that I'm going to win, and I don't want to sabotage myself.
Now,
and that long list of people you have to thank, you know.
Yes.
Now, Miles, when you talk about getting to win this, you have to promote. And this is something I think people don't understand about the Emmys, especially why is it that you think that there's just a certain people, they know about you, they're going to take a look at your work and they're going to pick out of people and say, okay, you win. There's a campaigning almost like running for president or something. Why is that? That's weird, I think.
It's political, that's why.
Yeah.
It is a little bit political. It's a little bit of a popularity contest. It's a little bit of luck. But then, of course, it does come down to talent. And I joined the Television Academy in April of this year you're right, the only people who can vote for this are active Television Academy members. And I believe there's about 25,000 of those nationwide. And then out of that 25,000, it's broken down into peer groups. And so only the performer peer group and the casting director peer group within the Academy could vote for actors or actresses. So out of those groups, there's about 2,500 or 3,000 people. So really, I had to target 3,000 people. How do you do that when I'm in LA and they're all nationwide and no idea who they are? So we did campaign just like a presidential candidate would. We went to 55 For Your Consideration Academy events in less than 2 months. So one Monday through Friday every week, sometimes two or three a day. Weekends usually had two events a day. And you just have to, you know, shake hands, kiss babies, smile, talk to people. that's what it takes, because we did not have a network studio backing us. And so we were not named talent. We were not coming off of a hit series show. So people didn't know who we were. So it took campaigning to actually get people to recognize us.
It's interesting that you joined only after getting nominated. Most actors, well, I don't know if most actors do, but do they join immediately once they get into the career? I mean, how expensive is it?
You know, I joined before I got nominated. So to join as a performer, you need 8 television credits within the last 4 years. And so I could have joined a few years ago, but I didn't understand the workings of the Academy. I thought that you had to be either invited to join or have 2 sponsors. There are different groups and organizations that those are the requirements. And that used to be the standard at the Television Academy, but it has changed because they're trying to open it up for more people. So as soon as I found out that I was eligible to join, I did so immediately. And you fill out an application online for whatever peer group that you are applying towards. And if you meet the standards, I believe it's just a $200 yearly fee, a membership fee. It's so cheap. It's so much cheaper than the union. I think when I joined the union years ago, it was like $3,000 to immediately join. It is the most valuable thing that I have done in a while, because before I joined the Academy, my professional network or extended network was essentially actors who were my friends. They were all about my own age and we're all about the same boat, not really making it big, but not really struggling, although we kind of are. And then joining the Academy, you gain access to everyone within the Academy. So I've met writers, directors, producers, composers, editors, sound engineers, animators, other actors. And now I feel like my professional network has expanded tenfold.
Which is fantastic. Wow. Now, Miles, now let's go. I have a question. I'll have one more question for you that involves one of your other projects that my kids like a lot. But let's go right now to the question. How many other competitors are in your category? So you're out there campaigning. I should win this Emmy. Our show should win the Emmy. How many others are the nominees that you're competing against?
So in my specific category, which is outstanding actor in a short form comedy or drama series, the pool has been narrowed down to 5. So there's 5 right now.
Okay. So yeah, your name's going to, when you go to the Emmys, they're going to say they're going to, or now where are your Emmy? When do we see that? Is that during when are the Emmys anyways? Miles, when you will know.
So my ceremony is actually the Creative Arts Emmys, and so the main televised Emmys that most people are familiar with is very celebrity heavy, and it's just recognizable names and programs. That's on Monday, September 17th. But the Creative Arts Emmys, there's actually two nights of those the weekend before. So there is Saturday, September 8th, which is my night, and then there will be Sunday, September 9th. And the Creative Arts Emmys focus on scripted content and unscripted between the two nights. And that's where a lot of the less popular, not mainstream categories would be. Things that your average Joe in my hometown, Minnesota, wouldn't want to watch, as far as like outstanding. I don't even know. I mean, I love all the Emmys, but it's not the hot, sexy categories, you know, like leading actor, best program, best comedy, best drama.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Interesting. But again, an Emmy is an Emmy, right? At the end of the day, Miles, when you're applying for things.
Absolutely. Yes. 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 And that's, people still don't really understand this. Even in my personal life, people, when I say, oh, I'm nominated for an Emmy, when I say short form series, that's when they're like, what? Because there's a bad connotation with short form right now, even though there is quality content. And I think the era of YouTube, where anybody could just pull out their iPhone and record something and call it a web series, you know, gather their friends and go over to their apartment and film on a couch, I think that's what people thought we were doing. And it wasn't. No, it was a professional project. And short form it should be recognized at the Academy. And this is the third year that it has been. So I really appreciate them even considering this category and opening it up.
Great.
So what new projects have you got?
You know, I actually met a producer through one of the for your consideration Academy events, and then I've met with him a few times, and he's working on a number of projects with a variety of directors. And there's another director named Brad Furman who I met through this producer, and they want me to star in a pilot that they're working on called Los Angeles.
Wow.
So, and no, exactly. So that's why that would
things are going to open up, I think.
I hope so. Yeah. So I'm excited. I don't know what the future holds, and I don't know where this will lead, but I don't care. I love the process. I enjoy every moment of it, and I couldn't be happier.
Good for you.
And that's the thing. And then remember, Miles, persistence. I'm going to keep saying this, persistence,
yeah,
as
yeah.
It came from the founder. Michael Keaton played the founder, Ray Kroc. Now you guys will have to do more research on Ray Kroc, but that movie is a great movie for entrepreneurs, people that are in the entertainment business. You have to be persistent. You're going to get tons of no's to get that yes, as Dave even brought up before. And Miles, that's important. Now let's talk about Descendants. What was your part in Descendants? Because again, that's what my kids love.
Sure. Yeah, so I was on a mini-series called Disney Descendants School of Secrets, and they filmed about 26 episodes, I believe, or 27 episodes, and they aired one episode every day leading up to Descendants 2, and it was filmed secret vlogger style in the cafeteria of the Heroes High School, because Descendants 2 is all about the villain kids coming to the Heroes High School, and what are we going to do? So I played reasonable student. No one had a name. So I was the reasonable one. Because you overhear conversations just in the cafeteria, and we're all talking about like, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to make us walk the plank? And then I'm like, guys, we're going to be friends with them. Because I was the reasonable one.
Wow. Awesome.
That's great. That's great. All right.
You're riding the wave, my friend.
So now the last question, Miles, is that Dave always loves to run by, is this question of why Dave is co-hosting with me. He has a tremendous mission. Go ahead and ask that question to Miles.
You mean Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, ask that. Dave, you know, ask that. Dave, ask that question to Miles. Yeah. Good.
You know, believe it or not, Miles, there are so many caregivers in the movie industry. I mean, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Hillary Clinton. Well, she's not a celebrity, but she's a politician. But you got Henry Winkler, you got Joan London. I mean, the list is endless. And I was just wondering, you know, if you have any caregivers in your family, grandparents, parents, anyone caring for somebody.
You know, I'm I know I do. I don't think I do at this moment, though. My grandmother actually passed away 6 years ago. And when she passed away, my mom flew out there and was taking care of her. This was out in Virginia. She passed away of pancreatic cancer. And my mom stayed with her for, I think, 3-4 months leading up to her eventual passing.
That's so common. You know, and what's more, even more mm-hmm. common is that these people who care for the others, they don't take care of themselves. All of a sudden, their health starts going downhill. You know, they're not eating right. They're not sleeping right. They're just stressed out. And 30% of them actually die before their loved ones do. So keep that in mind. If anything comes up and you've got to be a caregiver, one of your family members becomes a caregiver, you know, send them over my way, caregiverdave.com, and we'll keep them healthy. We'll keep them alive. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, Miles. Good. Best of luck.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thank you, guys. Thank you both. It was very nice to talk to you.
Ride that wave.
And then for all the celebrities that vote on this, Miles, or the people involved that vote on this, that listen to this interview, best place they can go to vote right now is where?
So voting actually opens up August 13th, and it will be through the Academy website. So it'll just be Emmys.com. And then on there are links for members to log in, and then they can vote. But anybody can watch our series. Our series is actually hosted on Vimeo, and it's also on our personal website, which is just brokentheseries.com.
All right, Miles, best of luck.
Vimeo.
Yes, Vimeo. Yes, we'll check it out. Miles, thanks for coming on the show. Best of luck, and let's hope you win that Emmy, okay?
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
I hope so, too.
All right, take care. Thanks.
Coming on.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.